In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. We welcome you to our Perseverance class, and as always, let's start by invoking the Blessed Mother. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And also, Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We cry out to Mary in the words of the Hail Holy Queen, invoking her as Mary, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's pray to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's turn now to our spiritual director, and he's the Holy Spirit, known also as our consoler, counselor, gift of gifts. He's also known as the interior master. St. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy. Holy Spirit also is the sanctifier. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to enlighten us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us on our pathway to holiness. St. Augustine says, he who sings well prays twice. Let us lift up our minds, our hearts in song as we invoke the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Well, Lady Queen of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, Saint Gabriel, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. Saint Dominic, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we welcome you all to our Perseverance family this morning. And as always, Saturday is a day in which we want to honor Mary Most Holy. A week ago, last Saturday, was the feast day of Saint Alphonsus Liguori. And I suggested that you all purchase this book, which is The Glories of Mary. This is written by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Of all of his many works, more than 100, this was considered his spiritual masterpiece. And this is a running commentary on the beautiful prayer that we pray at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen. This great saint takes the Hail Holy Queen, explains it word for word, and then he gives examples, stories, to illustrate the importance of our trusting in the Blessed Virgin Mary. So hopefully this week you've started to read The Glories of Mary by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Okay, this day, the spiritual practice that I would suggest to you is, you can see this book here, The Divine Mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. You've heard us preach this often. We cannot insist on the importance of praying the Most Holy Rosary. Our Lady of Fatima appeared to three little children in 1917 to Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. She appeared May 13th all the way up to October 13th. October 13th was the great miracle, and was the sun was spinning like a Ferris wheel in the sky, shooting off different colors like the color of the rainbow. Every time that she appeared to the children and to the world at large, she said this, pray the rosary. She insisted on praying the rosary. A few years back, there's an Irish-American priest that preached one topic. It was the same topic. He insisted on praying the rosary. His name was Father Patrick Peyton. He's already venerable. Patrick Peyton was a simple priest, but a priest had great love for Mary. And the essential idea was to try to get as many people to pray the rosary as possible, but to pray the rosary as a family. He's famous for these two sayings. The family that prays together stays together, as well as a world at prayer is a world at peace. Against all odds, Father Peyton went to Hollywood and insisted that a movie be made on the rosary. And it was done. So to this very day, if you like, you can see the 15 mysteries of the rosary, the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. Because this was done before John Paul II was Pope. EWTN has presented this, each mystery His presenting about 20 to 25 minutes. It's one of the most faithful renditions from Hollywood of the life of Christ ever done. And that's an important note. If you'd ever want to teach a non-believer or a drifting Catholic who really doesn't know the faith, by going through the mysteries of the Rosary, you're able to do a pretty good basic catechesis. The joyful mysteries, they give us a summary of the incarnation and the infancy of Christ, the focal point being his birth in the stable of Bethlehem. Now the luminous mysteries, which John Paul II incorporated about 19 years ago, gives us a good summary of the public life of Christ. His baptism, the wedding feast of Cana, his preaching, the transfiguration, and the institution of the Eucharist. The sorrowful mysteries give us Holy Week. What Christ suffered for us, for the salvation of our souls. And the glorious mysteries teach us the foundational mystery of our Catholic faith, which was and is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you want to do a brief summary or resume of the life of Christ, the Rosary. Our Lady appeared 6 times to the children of Fatima, and every time she said to pray the Most Holy Rosary. Indeed, the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. So, pray the Rosary. As I mentioned yesterday, we are presently in a novena. Novena means 9 days. This novena is in preparation for one of the greatest Marian celebrations every year. That is, the celebration of Mary's Assumption into Heaven, which we'll be celebrating on August 15th, which will be actually next Saturday. This is one of the most important Marian feast days every year. Saint Faustina Kowalska, when she made novenas to Mary, especially the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary into Heaven, and Christmas, her novena consisted of praying 1,000 Hail Marys every day for 9 days. Now in your case, you probably can't pray 1,000 Hail Marys in one day, even though it's possible. I would suggest as you prepare for the feast day of the Assumption, as I said yesterday, try within the next week to prepare yourself to make a good sacramental confession. Offer that to Mary. Examine your conscience well. Beg for sorrow for your sins. Make the firm purpose of amendment. Confess your sins to the priest who represents Christ in number and species. Make your confession be transparent. Be humble. Be obedient. Pray your act of contrition. Receive the absolution. Then carry out the penance that was given to you by the priest. Offer your confession to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Second practice, pray the rosary. Third is to try to imitate Mary. Today in the handout, you probably know that I write an article every week and it's published on Catholic Exchange. I've probably written over the past 9-10 years about 500 articles. The article that you're going to be reading in the points of meditation today are the 10 virtues of Mary. Saint Luis Maria Grignon de Montfort, who wrote True Devotion to Mary. One of the numbers in this spiritual masterpiece is Saint Louis de Montfort highlights the 10 virtues of Mary. There'd be even more, but the 10 most salient virtues of Mary. So if we really love Mary, then we want to try to imitate Mary's virtues. And the greatest virtues of Mary would be her sublime, fiery charity. Charity means love for God and love for neighbor. So today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about the saint of the day, and then let's go through the readings. The saint of the day. Today we celebrate, once again, a very important saint in the church calendar. In his name is August 8th, we celebrate Saint Dominic. Saint Dominic Guzman. Saint Dominic Guzman. His life and his contribution to the church is very, very important. And at the end of my presentation, I'd like to present a modern Saint Dominic and a modern Saint Francis. Saint Dominic was born in Spain in 1170. His mother is a blessed, her name is Blessed Blanche. And I like to highlight that because moms and dads, God gives you children. And the primary obligation of moms and dads is to educate your children in everything. Human formation, the formation of the character, intellectual formation. But especially parents are called to the moral and spiritual formation of your children. And if it can be blunt, trying to form your children to become saints. Without a doubt, one of the key notes of parents really living out this vocation, of the overall well-rounded integral formation of your children, is teaching them the importance of prayer, how to pray, where to pray, when to pray, the effect of prayer. And that's what Blanc did to Dominic. Insisted upon a general formation of her son, that he be well-educated, but especially that he have a fear of the Lord and a great love for God. Saint Dominic. Now, before Dominic was born, when his mother was pregnant with Dominic, she had a dream, or a vision. And she saw the hillsides that were cloaked in darkness. And then she saw a dog. It was like a German shepherd. And that dog that appeared to be a German shepherd had a torch in his mouth. And what he was doing, he was running. And he was starting little fires. That dog with a torch in his mouth, that the mother of Dominic had seen when she was pregnant with Dominic, was symbolic of the church. The church was cloaked in darkness, enveloped in darkness, moral decay, ignorance, luxurious lifestyle among the priests and religious. In other words, the church was in great decline. The church had to have someone to start a fire. Jesus said this, I have come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be ignited. That was a prophecy. That vision of the dog starting fires throughout the hillside was a prophecy of what Dominic would do. So let's talk about Dominic. His mother was very strict, insisting that he pray and study hard and be well-disciplined. Another positive influence on Dominic was the fact that his uncle was a priest. And his mother would send him to his uncle. So his uncle was a good priest in Spain. Partially helped in the formation of Dominic. But now we see one of the most salient characteristics of Dominic is that Dominic really had a strong inclination to read and to study. Dominic had one attachment. The attachment of Dominic were his books. Now back we're talking about the 1100s. Having a book back then was a precious, expensive commodity, because the Benedictines would copy, have manuscripts of books of the Bible and possibly the fathers of the church. So they were very expensive, and most people back then did not know how to read. So Dominic was given some books, and he liked to read and to study. Beg parents to encourage their children to read good books. A good book can be a good friend. And there have been people who have been converted by reading good books. 9 days ago, we celebrated St. Ignatius of Loyola. Part of his conversion came about after he was wounded in the Battle of Pamplona. His sister gave him books to read, The Life of Christ and The Life of the Saints. And he said, if Dominic can do it, so can I. If Francis can do it, so can I. If Augustine can do it, so can I. If the Desert Fathers can do it, so can I. So Ignatius received a real impulse of conversion through the reading of books. But what happened was, where Dominic lived, in his early years, what has happened now in the world, the worldwide pandemic of coronavirus, there was a plague that hit Europe. And many, many people were sick. Many people were hungry. Many people were dying. Dominic ended up by giving all of his money away for the poor. But one of his biggest sacrifices was that he actually sold his books. And the money that he got from his books, he gave to the poor, the sick, and the dying, insisting that these poor, sick, and dying needed the money more than he needed the books. Here we see someone who is filled with love for God and love for neighbor. And I think there's a lesson there that teaches us that material things have value, relative value. However, one person who is created in the image and likeness of God has much more value than all the material commodities in the world. One of our big challenges today is the telephone. We tend to spend more time looking at our telephone than looking at God and talking to God. We spend more time on the telephone than speaking to our husband. We spend more time on the telephone than communicating with our children. For many people, the telephone has become the modern idol. Not to say that the telephone is bad. But as St. Ignatius teaches us, we should not abuse creation, but we should use creation for the honor and glory of God. Let's move on to with the life of this fascinating saint. St. Dominic was not called to the married life, but he was called to the priesthood. When he was living in the early 1200s and late 1100s, he lived from 1170 to 1221. The church was going through a very difficult time. And there was a heresy. The heresy that had spread throughout the whole world. Well, the whole of Europe anyway. It was called the Albigensian heresy. The Albigensian heresy was able to get many followers. And the founder was a priest whose name was Albi. And the basic tenets of Albigensian was basically the same thing that Augustine fought against, called Manichaeism. The Albigensian heresy was a dualistic, heretical, erroneous teaching that taught that the matter is bad and the spirit is good. That's called dualism. Matter is bad. The spirit is good. So what is that, if that's the case, how do we interpret this? That we should eat very little. Practice fasting. Practice mortification. Not be joyful, but be sad. And also they preached that human sexuality was bad. That they should abstain from sexuality. And obviously, if this heresy became a reality, then the world would be extinguished, because that's the channel by which God has chosen, by which new human beings come into existence. Now, believe it or not, this philosophy and theology was spreading like wildfire in Spain, in France, and also in Italy, throughout Europe. And one of the reasons why was because the church was in serious decline. The church had a lot of clerics that lived an immoral life. Clerics, priests, that lived a life of luxury. Priests and clerics that did not know their faith well. Priests and clerics that were ignorant of the basic truths of the faith. And given that the priests are called to be the teachers, the models of the people, they obviously were not giving good example. Consequently, many of the Catholics were abandoning the Catholic faith and they were entering into the Albigensians. One of the reasons why is because the priests and religious were not living up to their sublime vocation of living a life of holiness. So that's the the social religious milieu of the time of Dominic. So this is what happens. This would be the type of missionaries. I was just reading this morning. It almost made me laugh and cry at the same time. The missionaries would be traveling on elephants. Obviously, traveling on elephants was a sign of great luxury. They would go with secretaries, a lot of material things, well-dressed, well-groomed. The missionary would settle down in the town and look for the most expensive, luxurious lodging. They'd be eating and drinking. So the simple lay people who lived a life basically of great poverty, most people, were really turned off by this luxurious, materialistic, sensual lifestyle that these priests, even bishops, were living. So Dominic decided to go against this. And he went about preaching with the bishop. So Dominic dedicated himself to preaching and to teach and to catechize. To preach, to teach, and to catechize. Whenever the opportunity lent itself, Dominic would be preaching. Which is, the priest has two basic responsibilities, the two P's of the priest, to pray and to preach. St. Paul says that faith comes through hearing. Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the word of God. But something happened. The bishop and Dominic, by preaching from one town to the next against the Albigensians, they're making some conversions. Very modest conversions. But something happened to Dominic that would change the face of the earth. And it's what I was saying about 20 minutes ago, as you see this picture of Mary with the scapula and the rosary. Dominic was praying and fasting, begging the Lord for the conversion of the many sinners, that they would return to the faith, the practice of the faith. So in the midst of his profound prayer, what happened was the Blessed Mother appeared to Dominic. And she encouraged him. And she consoled him. And she thanked him as a warm, loving mother would do. However, she said this, Dominic, I'm pleased with your preaching, but you're lacking one thing. And she told him, Dominic, you must preach the rosary. If you preach the rosary, then there will be spectacular conversions. So after this encounter that Saint Dominic had with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary, he decided to change his preaching topics. He would preach especially the mysteries of the rosary. The rosary and the mysteries of the rosary. So killing two birds with one stone, as we said. By preaching the rosary, he would bring the people to prayer. By preaching the rosary and the mysteries, he'd be teaching the people the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, united with the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic letter, The Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, would say this: we're called to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. So Dominic left the forest of Toulouse, where he had this powerful encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he went and he started to preach. And to preach the rosary. And my friends, from that moment on, there were radical and massive conversions. The conversions came about through his preaching the Most Holy Rosary. And as a result of this, there is a group, a team of men that were following Dominic. Like a group of men that were following St. Alphonsus. Like a group of men that were following St. Ignatius of Loyola. These men that followed Dominic, they admired his eloquence. They admired his gentleness. They admired his cheerfulness. They admired his affability. In other words, the holiness of Dominic was magnetic. It was bringing these men to want to be with Dominic, to follow Dominic. And this would be the origin of the formation of a new religious order. However, for a new religious order to be established in the church, it would have to go through papal approval. The name of the pope back then was a very good pope. His name was Innocent III. So Dominic travels to Rome with the intention of having this band of men bond together in a community, live together, to live the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and to dedicate themselves to preaching, teaching, catechizing, proclaiming the good news. Whoever the Pope was a little bit reluctant to starting a new mendicant order. But God intervened. As the mother of Dominic had a vision and dream, Pope Innocent III also had a dream. And it was the following. Pope Innocent, he saw the church. The church was in shambles. The church was caving in. The church was dilapidated. The church was in rapid decline. So, he saw the church about to collapse totally, and all of a sudden, the Pope saw these two pillars that were holding up the church. These two pillars that were holding up the church. But these were human pillars. He saw a little man with a little beard, less than 5 feet tall, skinny little guy, dressed and looked to be a little brown bag almost, with a rope around his neck, his waist. Then he saw another man dressed in white. So these pillars were not physical pillars, but they were people. And they were holding up the church, sustaining the church. And the Pope would recognize that the little man dressed in brown, his name was Francesco Bernardone. We call him today Saint Francis. The other man was Domingo Guzman. We call him today Saint Dominic. So what would happen was Francesco would travel to Rome and ask the Holy Father to approve his band of men. And Dominic would travel and ask the Holy Father to approve his band of men. So because of this dream that Innocent III had of Francis and Dominic, these two new itinerant mendicant means beggars, order were approved by Holy Mother Church. We call them, now we call them the Franciscans, the others the Dominicans. And it's interesting, on one occasion Dominic was praying in the church and he had a vision of Francis and he turned around and there was Francis. And both of them embraced as friends in Christ. And both of them made a commitment to try to become saints. And by means of their work to restore the church. If you know the life of Saint Francis, Saint Francis had a vision. He heard the voice say, "Restore my church." Francis went to the church of San Damiano. And he started to rebuild the physical church of San Damiano. But what God was really saying to Saint Francis was not so much to rebuild the physical church on the outskirts of Assisi, San Damiano, but to be instrumental in rebuilding the Catholic Church, the moral, the spiritual life of the Church had to be restored. So Dominic, with a few Spaniards, Frenchmen, and Englishmen, had about 7 or 8 of the first followers that formed the Order of the Dominicans. The Dominicans, if you ever read something or some article of a Dominican, he'll always end by putting O-P at the end. O-P means Order of Preachers. Franciscans, O-F-M, you might see, Order of Franciscan Minor. Now, I'd like to comment now on how these two men were instrumental in the revival, the reformation of the Church. Because it has to be said that the Church back then was really in moral decline. The Church was in a bad state of affairs. For that reason, so many people went on to become Albigensians. And I'm going to try to make a parallel between Dominic and Francis and the world in which we live today. So Francis, he embraced a life of radical poverty. His spouse was Lady Poverty, in which there were mendicant friars begging money and preaching the Word of God to whoever were open to their preaching. So Saint Francis would bring back to the Church the importance of trying to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who preached and lived, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when Francis and Dominic preached, they would not be riding on elephants or sleeping in 5-star hotels or eating luxuriously. They would be walking without sandals. They would be fasting. They would walk underneath the rain. They'd accept the insults that some people would throw at them. In other words, they're trying to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Dominic brought back to the Church, rather Francis brought back to the Church, the importance of evangelical poverty. Now Dominic would also live a life of great poverty and insist that his brothers and the Order of Preachers would embrace a life of radical poverty, because the Albigensians actually lived a life of poverty. They fasted, but they went to extremes. No sexual relationships. That would extinguish the human race. But Dominic insisted that his followers would spend long time in prayer, but also in studying the Word of God. studying the Catholic doctrine, studying the Ten Commandments, studying the Bible. In other words, forming themselves intellectually so that they could become, according to their charism, the order of preachers of the Word of God. I'd like to make a parallel now. In last century, who would be the modern Saint Dominic? And who would be the modern Saint Francis? Last century, the beginning of this century. One of them died in 1997. The modern Saint Francis would be Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who preached by her example and lifestyle the importance of detachment from material things, love for a life of poverty, and love in imitation of Jesus, love for the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa would be the modern Saint Francis. How about the modern Saint Dominic? You know who I'm going to be talking about. Saint Pope John Paul II. Highly learned. One of the best writers in the Catholic Church. He studied at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, the Angelicum, where I studied. And the teachers are the Dominicans. Never was a man so visible. Never was there a man who preached so much. These became the modern missionaries. Mother Teresa would found the Missionaries of Charity. John Paul II would preach the Word of God by word and example throughout the whole world. Now what about you and what about me? As we honor Saint Dominic, whose charism is to preach and to spread the rosary, we are called, like Saint Francis, not to be enslaved by materialism. The threat is just as actual today as it was 800 years ago. Not to be slaves of materialism, of possessions that can possess us. And in honor of Saint Dominic, Saint Pope John Paul II, all of us should make a concerted effort to pray, but also not only to pray, but to study our Catholic faith, to know our faith, to love our faith, to defend our faith, to spread our faith, to be willing even to die for the love of our Catholic faith and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So hopefully our presentation of Saint Dominic will motivate you to really want to love God more and more each day. May Almighty God bless all of you in a very special way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.